más.
Good to go. Good morning. Welcome to our Imperial County LAFCO meeting for Thursday, June 26, 2025. Ms. Lori, roll call, please.
Commissioner Escobar.
Good morning.
Commissioner Operano.
Here.
Commissioner Hawk.
Here.
Commissioner Salgado.
Here.
Oh, sorry. Commissioner Llewellyn is absent.
Thank you, Ms. Lori. Pledge of Allegiance. We've got an all-star, Mr. Victor Manriquez. He can lead us, please. If he can lead us, please.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey,
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, here it comes.
And Commissioner Llewellyn is here.
Mr. Llewellyn is in the house, and Mr. Manriquez needs to practice the Pledge of Allegiance. Good morning.
No, yeah, notice how you doing, sir.
No pressure.
Yeah.
No pressure.
I'll put it on my notes.
Ms. Lori, do we have any public comments? Seeing none, moving to item five, consent items. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes for the meeting of May 22nd, 2025?
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Amparano, second by Commissioner Salgado. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Escobar?
Yes.
Commissioner Amparano?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawk?
Yes.
Commissioner Salgado?
Yes.
Commissioner Llewellyn?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Commissioner comments, Mr. Llewellyn, no pressure. Any comments? Thank you. Commissioner Salgado? Commissioner Hawk?
Lo mismo.
Commissioner Amparano?
Nothing to report.
I guess I'll follow the trend. Item six, the boss's reports.
Follow the trend.
Mr. Zepsio?
Well, I feel like I should say nothing to report now. But I got a couple things, just two things, actually. Cal LAFCO has brought back their Cal LAFCO U. It's webinars on different topics. That's part of their ongoing efforts to improve the Cal LAFCO organization. As I commented on previously, with most of the EOs upset with the way the organization has been ran, but that was one of the requests to bring that back. So they've done that. And these are the first three coming up. I sent the flyer out to the group. They're all on the web. So if you want to sign up, please send an email to Lori. The first one is Commissioner Best Practices on Thursday, July 17th. So if anybody's interested in that, alternates too, please let us know. And the other thing, it's regarding Cal LAFCO too, is I've been approached by Cal LAFCO. There are four regional officers as part of the organization, and the bylaws are going to be changed for those four to have a voting right, I guess, or to be a voting member of the board. They had contacted me wanting to know if I was interested. I'm still on the fence, but I wanted to make you aware in case there was any issues. It would require a little extra work on things like the staff workshops, Cal U, the annual conference, legislative things like that, and attending the board meetings, which there's four annually and usually in Sacramento. Pam had said there is a stipend with that position to help offset some of the cost that the commission would incur. She wasn't sure of the exact figures, but she said she thought it was around like $6,000. As I said, I haven't said yes or no yet. I said, let me talk to the commission and also let me decide if I really want to do it or not. And I would get back to you. So if there's, I guess what I'm asking, is there any concerns if I do decide to go down that road? It would give, their pitch to me was it would give Imperial LAFCO a voice on the board, which they currently don't have any. I think it was kind of like, you've seen where the army soldiers are lined up and they ask for volunteers and everybody, well, one guy steps back.
Get the
yeah, one guy looking around, I think that's maybe what it was, but So that's all I have on that.
Any commissioner comments on that subject?
I think it's amazing. Oh. Yeah, all for it.
Commissioner Salgado?
Yeah, I would encourage that, Tyler, but also something you might want to pitch if you are, you know, if you do end up taking that role. We know Sacramento loves Sacramento, and if there's an opportunity for them to come down here and Imperial County to host a meeting, I think that's
in August.
In August.
Something for them to consider, since I'm sure they're used to convening in Sacramento, and I think that's you know, folks get comfortable up north and forget about it, especially Imperial County, but Southern California in general. So encouraging them to be a little more mobile and accommodating to you as us as a region, I think would be important.
Thank you, Commissioner Salgado. Additional comments?
Just my comment, if you feel comfortable going, if you'd like to do it, I think that's looking at your schedule. I think that's up to you. I'd be in support of it if you want to do it.
Same. Let's bring it down here.
No pressure, dude.
Okay.
I do want to acknowledge before we move on, alternate member, Commissioner, Council Member Marroquin is in the house as well. Welcome. You want to make any comments?
No, I was just thinking in support of Tyler, you know, joining, you know, the CalAFCO group, you know, it would bring a lot more representation and recognition of the Imperial County as a whole, you know, so I think any place that we can be represented and advocate for, I think is cool.
Thank you, Commissioner.
You know what?
Right now. That's
it.
Okay.
That's all I have today.
Thank you, Tyler. Moving on to item 8A. I'm not sure how to read. IM4-21 Municipal Service and Sphere of Influence Review of the City of Imperial Service Area Plan. Mr.
Salgado?
Yeah, I was like, what way am I looking at?
We're only cousins. We're not.
Go ahead. I apologize.
No problem. We also have some representatives from Imperial. I'll go through my presentation, and if any of the Imperial folks wish to come up and add to or have any other comments, we'll do that, and then the commission can ask any questions or take action. So today we have be presenting the City of Imperial's updated 2025 service area plan. We're reviewing this under our municipal service review and the Sphere of Influence Authority. This is a full municipal service review paired with a reaffirmation of the Imperial's existing sphere of influence. No expansion of the sphere of influence is being requested. What's driving this review is the city's interest in advancing annexation proposals. I think we have at least two pending. They need an updated SAP on file before they can move forward. And I think on a previous next slide, I note that they also need a master tax sharing agreement still. I don't know what the progress is. Maybe you can speak to that when you
more money from us.
Purpose of the review. So why are we here? The city has annexation proposals on hold until this updated service area plan is adopted and a tax sharing agreement is in place, like I mentioned. Our job is to make sure these areas already inside the existing sphere of influence are backed by solid service planning. In short, this review serves four main purposes: to support the SOI consistency, evaluate municipal service capacity through 2045, and to satisfy CKH requirements and enable future annexation proposals. All of this will help ensure Imperial manages its growth responsibly.
We got it.
Okay. City of Imperial is projecting major growth. Population could nearly double by 2045. This plan lays out how the city expects to serve roughly 43,000 people by then and ultimately 70,000 plus at full build out. The SOI includes 14 annexation areas phased over 20 years. It's a big footprint, and this plan is meant to guide that growth responsibly. Next, please. Okay. The SAP covers the major service areas: admin, public safety, drainage, library, parks, circulation, wastewater and water. Each section includes current capacity, future demand, and what will be needed to keep up as the city expands. Next. Okay, here's where things stand on capacity. Admin space is short by about 8,700 square feet. Police are down 4 officers, and current space is already undersized. Parks short 5 acres now, and we'll need over 129 acres at full build out. Wastewater, the plant will be at capacity by 2045. Expansion would be necessary. And water is okay for now, but upgrades are needed as growth comes in. These shortfalls will only widen as new development areas come online. So phased investments and close coordination are going to be critical. The city's plan relies on impact fees, CFDs, user fees, and grants to fund improvements. Okay, let's take a quick look at the city's financial footing as it relates to the SAP. The city's general fund ended the fiscal year 2023, which is the most current audit, I think, that is available. It was just over $10 million. It's an improvement from the prior year. The water and sewer funds are both in the black with net positions of 12.7 and 15.8 million respectively, and a combined cash and investments of nearly $23 million. On the flip side, the city is carrying about $29 million in utility-related bonded debt. It's a big number, but it reflects investments in major water and wastewater upgrades. Now, pension liabilities are 5.7. That's manageable right now, but it's trending up and something to watch. Takeaway, the city's utility systems are financially solid but highly leveraged. Any annexation proposal will need to show exactly how new growth will fund additional infrastructure and keep up with debt service so Imperial does not overextend the existing ratepayers. Okay, we just saw the city's financial snapshot. There's a solid foundation, but a lot of that money is tied up in infrastructure and debt. So when it comes to planning for new growth, we have to make sure the numbers work. The city has the right funding tools, impact fees, CFDs, user rates, grants, et cetera. But here's the catch. The SAP doesn't include a detailed fiscal model showing revenues and costs for each future annexation. And honestly, that's tough to do at this stage since the specifics of each annexation, like timing, size, what's getting built, they're still unknown. So it's hard to plan for that specific detailed model like that. What the SAP does do is set the ground rules, service standards, funding mechanisms, and the expansion that growth needs to pay its own way. So my recommendation is straightforward. When an annexation is actually proposed, that's when we require a detailed fiscal impact analysis and a plan to fund services and infrastructure. Again, so new development carries its own weight and doesn't shift costs to current ratepayers. Next, please. Okay, under the CKH Act, we're required to make 7 determinations. This SAP gives us the foundation for that. The growth projections are solid. The plan calls out where service gaps exist, and it outlines the financial tools that the city will use. But there are a couple of things the SAP doesn't fully cover. Disadvantaged unincorporated communities, or DUCs, aren't directly identified. So when an annexation comes forward, we'll need that analysis included. And as previously mentioned in the last slide, since the SAP doesn't lay out a detailed financial model, every annexation proposal will need to spell out how services and infrastructure are going to be funded, both capital and ongoing. Bottom line, this SAP plan sets the framework, but before we approve any boundary changes, applicants will need to demonstrate service capacity, confirm fiscal sustainability, and address any duck issues up front. Next, please. So the city uses a council manager form of government and applies clear performance standards in its SAP. Things like officers per capita, park acreage, and so on. There's already public outreach through workshops and the budget process. So they're engaging in community on key issues. That being said, I think there's still room to grow when it comes to public-facing transparency. I may suggest that the city consider adding things like dashboards or regular satisfaction surveys down the road. Good way to keep residents informed, track progress, and make sure the city stays responsive as it grows. Next, please. So My recommendation is that the commission approve and adopt the service area plan, accept the MSR determinations, and reaffirm the existing sphere of influence. We're also recommending the commission make the required findings under the government code sections 56425 and 56430, and find the action exempt from CEQA under both common sense and planning study exemptions. And just to be clear again, any future annexations may be conditioned on demonstrating service capacity, fiscal sustainability, and compliance with DUC requirements. Next, please. Nope. Any questions, or if Imperial would like to come up and add anything?
Public comments?
Good morning, Commission. Tommy Garcia with the City of Imperial, Assistant to the City Manager. I'd just like to take the time to thank you for your time this morning in review of our SAP, particularly to Tyler and his team's assistance and guidance and information they provided along the way. With me today is Finance Director Victor Manriquez, and also our Community Development, Yvonne Cordero. Yvonne has been the lead on this project throughout, again, guided with LAFCO's team and our consultant. So again, thank you for your time, and we will do our best to answer any questions or concerns that the commission may have at this time.
Thank you.
And I will add that so far the SAPs that I've read, both past and the ones that I'm reviewing now, that this was really well done. Congratulations to you guys and consultants. Lays out the structure and the funding mechanisms and talks about the deficiencies and in a lot of areas, very well written.
Any additional comments? Bringing it back to the commissioners. Any comments from the commissioners?
I think it's well put together. I wasn't able to look through all 468 pages, but having gone through it yesterday, I think it's well put together. You guys did an amazing job, and I wanted to thank Tyler and the City of Imperial.
Any additional commissioner comments?
Yeah, so Tyler, this plan is great, and I appreciate the work that's been put into it, but I think every time we approve a service area plan, we're missing an opportunity now. I think I've had those discussions with you about the IID and their inaction within city limits to support some of these opportunities. And so I think, you know, I'm fine with approving this plan, but I think we need to find a pathway forward for understanding how they can be a benefit to our municipalities and the county instead of a hindrance. Because at this point, we see this perfect service area plan here telling us all the things that the city can deliver. But when you go to develop or you go to annex, you're going to have issues with right away. You're going to have issues with drainage canals that the IID manages. You're going to have issues with canals that are in the way, with laying pipe, conduit, power, access. And so those are things that I think we need to start looking at in our county and as a part of this body. To help our cities and the county move forward. I'm being open about that. I want to say that out loud and be sure that, you know, my position is heard. I think, you know, there's a lot of ways to move forward on these things and maybe conditioning the approvals on some improvements once there's issues in the surrounding areas, I think is important. You have a city of Calipat that's landlocked by IID facilities. They're going to want to develop in the future. How do we address those needs? So it's just one of those things I want to kind of make sure that I'm vocal about.
Commissioner Salgado, good point. As the commission is aware, we're right in the middle of the review of the IID service area plan. And there's been some back and forth. Actually, I sent out the 11-page comments, and they just sent back 12 page of rebuttals. So we are working our way through that, and that is an emphasis on part of that, and it definitely will be addressed when it comes in front of the commission. So we're still working through with the IID on a lot of those things.
I appreciate that work. I'm all for the progress, and I just think, you know, we can be a little more innovative with some of these opportunities versus approving a plan knowing that there's going to be challenges later on, and yep. How are we going to address those, or at least support the need to address those moving forward?
Thank you, Commissioner Salgado. Any additional commissioner comments?
Yes, I would. I would just say that I agree with David's comments. Absolutely, and it is a bold, aggressive plan. It's unbelievable. I wish Hopeville had some plans like that. But anyway, I understand that, And I am mindful that there will be a lot of issues and hurdles to overcome. One of my pet peeves is dealing with CEQA, the CEQA laws. It's so frustrating. So I hats off to you guys who are ready to take them on. But I would support this, and I think the hurdles are already there, probably in place. You have your hands full, but I think as we work through that together, I think we're some of the issues that David made are excellent, and that working with right-of-ways or whatever it is, issues, I wish you well.
Thank you, Commissioner Hawk. Additional comments?
If I may.
Vice Chair.
Yes, the plan, very nice put together. I do want to make some comments on our deficiencies. Our deficiencies are just temporary on some of them, you know, because of times that we have right now. It's looking at our police department, the reasons why we're out for our wastewater plant, why we're out that right now. These are all temporary fixes that we have going on. So they will be rectified very, very shortly. But at the same time, I do want to echo what Commissioner Salgado said, and I made this comment here recently at ICTC, where not just the city of Calipatria, city of El Centro, every city within Imperial County pretty much is going to get landlocked by IID. And if we look at the fights and battles that we're having right now, and I can bring it to our city in the city of Imperial, where we're having a battle right now with Ayton Road in Austin. Everybody's taking that hot potato and throwing it at somebody else and saying, and it's not mine. When in actuality, we stopped way before that. It is not ours, but nobody wants to do anything. And so then IID looking at the county looking at IID, county going, that's your canal. But we are getting no help. So I did make a recommendation through ICTC, through the LTA, to do a 5% set aside to help with infrastructure with cities on a whether we go after vehicle miles traveled, a fleet fee or something that we charge, that will allow cities, counties, and anybody else to help those situations where we now have that landlock with the bridge, where Calipatria can't move south, can't move north because there is a canal, and we can take that 5%, that money out of the 5% set aside, build up an IID, and this would be an annual fee that they would have to pay just like everybody else. So I know I've had conversations, and when I brought this up the other day, they told me, you know, you're going against your old employer. I said, well, I would go against our city when we're wrong. Because at the end of the day, we're here to make our county a good place to be. And we're here to do a job to make sure that everything gets done in the correct way. Whether it means putting myself at risk to make sure that our residents of Imperial County have everything that they need, that our cities have everything that they need. That's what I do. That's my role. So I agree with you. We need to take a bigger stance. And through the service area plan that IID submitted, maybe we need to start looking at that. How does that tax share start to work with them? How do we start putting some money away for those areas? I mean, I look at City of El Centro. Can you move west? No, you can't. And so it affects everybody, but we got to find a way. I made a comment about roads. As of 2024, if I remember correctly, IID had a fleet of 825 vehicles that hit the road every single day. And you know how much road tax they pay? It is none. But at the end of the day, it's your roads they're on. It's your roads. It's your roads. My roads. Everybody's roads. But guess what? They're nothing that comes back to our cities to help, to our county to help. John, how much are you spending on roads right now?
$24 million.
Okay. Can you imagine getting a chunk of that to help you pave some of those roads?
Absolutely.
And so this is something that I love. They're a big dog in this county. And then, you know, even big dogs can help. So that's my two cents. But staff, thank you very much for the report. Very well put together. Luckily, some of the other ones we've done, been pencils and going through it, and this one's been pretty good. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Amparano. Everybody else is good? Well, first of all, Commissioner Hawk mentioned Holtville, so I got to throw Calexico in there. I wish I could delete Imperial and put Calexico in. So I know where you're coming from, John.
Okay.
On a serious note, it's important that we look strategically at how we are in Imperial County now and where we want to be in the future. The reason there's canals all over the place is because we were in that community over 100 years ago. That's really what we are, and that's what we're always going to be. But we also have to diversify and make sure that we're growing with ag, not excluding ag, but making sure that ag is always part of the umbrella along with other industries. I've seen this time and time again in the microeconomic level with Lithium Valley. If you look at the macro level, we've got seven cities. Every city's going to grow. Let's be realistic. Every city's going to grow. The census of 2020, where we have 175,000 people, is BS. We all know that. We all know that we have well over 200,000 people on any given day, especially in the city of Calexico, the parameters because of the influx of people coming in for school, shopping, work, et cetera, all over our county. Perfect example is Brawley, well, the previous Brawley Beef National Beef, which is now One World Beef, that employs a significant number of legal individuals coming from across the border. So again, as we continue to grow and hopefully diversify our economy, we need to grow with ag, but with that, there will be headaches. But those headaches can be much smaller. So let's, before they become migraines, let's try to control those headaches and work strategically in growing our community. Because again, we can't be against each other. We would be morons to do that. And I think we all feel we're doing that. We're going against each other, and I'm specifically talking about the seven cities, our utility district, which is the ID, and the County of Imperial. So instead of going against each other, we need to work together. It's not a bell game. It's not the battle of the border. This is freaking Imperial County, and we need to work together to grow. With having said that, do we have a motion to approve item 8A?
So moved.
I have a motion by Commissioner Llewellyn and a second by Commissioner Salgado. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Escobar?
Yes.
Commissioner Amparano?
Stay.
Commissioner Hawk?
Yes.
Commissioner Salgado?
Yes.
Commissioner Llewellyn?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0. Thank you, gentlemen. Ladies?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to, well,
feel free to stick around for the whole show here.
No, just kidding. Thank you.
Going on to item 8B, appointment of an alternate public member to the commission. We have any public comments on item 8B? Seeing none, bringing it back to the dais. Commissioners, comments?
If I may, I know that we asked for this to go back or get more applicants, and I'm glad that we did get more.
If I may, I just wanted to begin by firstly, for the record, thanking all the candidates. I know they're not all here, but we had six amazing people apply. They showed their willingness to serve our community, and you know, majority of them have relevant experience that could benefit the commission. And so I just wanted to thank everyone.
Robert, do you have comments?
No.
I do have a couple of comments, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
First of all, I'd just like to say that I know LAFCO has not had a representative from Hopeville in quite a while, other than when I was appointed from the supervisors. And I know that the mayors appoint members. But my issue is I feel that I do appreciate the number of people that we have representing, you know, the Valley and those that want to be on the commission. But my point is very simply just a matter of clarification. When I I talked to Mr. Irigoyen. It shows his address as El Centro. And I've had some complaints that Hopeville has been kind of bypassed for the last 8 to 10 years. So in representation from the Valley, I know we've had a lot of representation from Calexico, which we're appreciative of. And we've had El Centro, Brawley, and now with Calipat, we've had Calipat, your mayor, has been on the commission for over 8 to 10 years or whatever. So Felipe Irigoyen, and I would just bring that out, is a Hopeville native, grown up in Hopeville, and currently has an office in Hopeville. So, you know, I'm not complaining about the fact that Hopeville has not had a representative, but I feel that he would represent Hopeville very well, and I'm not campaigning. I'm just saying that he does represent that part of the Valley. Also thankful when I look at Imperial and I look at all of the issues that they have overcome, they've grown. They're probably the fastest growing area in the Valley. If not, they're recognized in California. And so Hopeville has kind of been left out in some ways. And I would just want to bring that up. I don't know if that's campaigning, but Mr. Irigoyen does represent Hopeville and his office is there.
Thank you, Commissioner Hawk. In order to expedite this, because there are six candidates, my suggestion would be that we cut that group to half to make it easier for us to then potentially nominate and approve, as opposed to kind of, well, one person picks this, because with six members, it's a little bit challenging. So I'll go ahead and start with potentially my top three. Top three would be in order of the email, Gilbert Grijalva, Blanca Morales, and Felipe Irigoyen. Those would be my three to go to hypothetically the next round, let's say.
Choose Grijalva, Moreno, and Urias.
Ms. Lori, could you take a running total of those, please? So Escobar, Gilbert Grijalva, Blanca Morales, and Felipe Irigoyen. Vice Chair Amparano, Gilbert Grijalva, Javier Moreno, and who was your third?
Urias.
Ramiro Urias.
Urias.
Going a little bit too fast. So Escobar, I have Morales and Irigoyen, and who's the other one?
Gilbert Grijalva. And Vice Chair would be Gilbert Grijalva, Javier Moreno, and Ramiro Urias.
And who's the third one?
Ramiro Urias, or Urias. Not the pitcher, dude.
Yeah. He's
the Brawley Chamber applicant.
Yeah, my top three would be Javier Moreno, Mr. Urias, and Mr. Irigoyen.
Mine would reflect what the chair submitted there. Gilbert, Blanca, and Felipe.
And mine the same.
So, okay, Salgado, Escobar, Llewellyn, said Irigoyen, so that's three. And then Moreno's only under two. No. Escobar said Morales. Escobar said Morales, not Moreno.
Escobar is Grijalva, Morales, and Irigoyen.
And
yeah, times three.
Gilbert each. Is there twice. And the one that I'm not sure how to
pronounce. Lori, if I may, Gilbert's there three times. We have Chair.
Yeah, Gilbert is there.
Escobar, three times. Commissioner Hawk, yeah, and you're right. I believe Commissioner Salgado, Gilbert, right?
And Irigoyen.
So there's three of them there.
So.
Oh, didn't you include?
Yeah. You included Moreno.
Ed Grijalva, Moreno, and Uri.
Yeah.
Oh, so Grijalva would be there a fourth time.
So top three would be Grijalva, Morales, and Irigoyen.
Okay.
Could you double check the numbers just to be on the safe side?
And if we need to repeat ourselves, we can. Not a problem.
So I have Irigoyen three times. I have Gilbert three times.
Yeah, there's a mistake there. So we'll go in order, and I'll begin. So my top three would be Gilbert Grijalva, Blanca Morales, and Felipe Irigoyen. Okay.
And Salgado's was the same.
And I had Grijalva, Moreno, and Urias.
Right.
Okay, then mine would be...
Irigoyen is four. That makes four.
Yeah, Irigoyen is four, I think. But Gilbert, mine would be Grijalva, Morales, and Irigoyen.
Oh, you only told me the one. So you have Irigoyen and who?
Morales and Grijalva.
Morales and who?
Grijalva. Same as Mr. Escobar.
Gilbert.
Escobar.
Okay.
Hawk and Salgado have the same three
candidates. So Gilbert is four, Irigoyen is four, and then...
Felipe Blanca would be three.
Morales is three.
So I think we're set with the number, with the top three being Gilbert Grijalva, Blanca Morales, and Felipe Irigoyen. With that, we reopen it up for comments, potential motions, etc.
I'll go ahead and make the motion to nominate Felipe Irigoyen as our alternate commissioner.
I will second that.
We have a first and a second. Any comments prior to?
That'd be conflict.
Go for it.
I said I my feeling behind that, I just think there might be conflict behind it between our alternate and that candidate.
And that would be a justified reason. Our alternate is Ms. Peggy Price, who did run an election against Mr. Felipe Irigoyen. In theory, there should not be any conflict. In reality, it's a separate matter. Any additional comments? There is a motion and a second, so I do want to respect the motion and the second. But any additional comments prior to?
No, I'll just echo what you said earlier, Chairman. You know, we need to work together and be kind of, you know, collectively on the same page. So I'm hoping that if we do move forward with Felipe, we can put our differences aside. I mean, I live in the now, and I like to think, you know, we all need to kind of get past those differences and challenges that we've had in the past. And so I'm happy to vote.
Very well said. Any additional comments prior to taking it to the vote?
Well, I would say that I did mention that to both candidates. I asked Mr. Irigoyen if there would be a conflict, and he said he didn't think so. He didn't think that there would be. I think they're amicable and they get along. But as Robert said, I think, you know, there's always that potential. But at this point, I don't see any conflict at all. But anyway, leave that.
Right. Hearing comments and respecting, we do have a motion by supervisor, wrong meeting, by Commissioner Hawk, and a second by Commissioner Llewellyn. Backwards? Yes, so a motion by Commissioner Llewellyn and a second by Commissioner Hawk. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Escobar?
Yes.
Commissioner Amparano?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawk?
Yes.
Commissioner Salgado?
Yes.
Commissioner Llewellyn?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item 8C, audited financial statements for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2024. Mr. Salcido?
Thank you.
I almost screwed it up again.
Thank you, Chair. Item 8C is our annual audited financial statements for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2024. The audit was completed by Davis Farr, LLP, and the full report is in your packet. I'll just go over some very short key highlights from the audit. The auditors issued a clean, unmodified appeal.
Real quick.
Oh, sorry.
The report that we have says 2023.
Did we attach the wrong one?
No, it's fiscal year ending 2024. Yeah. The audit is for 23. We're fine. Oh, June 30th to 2023.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I think it's a typo.
Well, it goes back over years. Let me see. This one's 25. And this is all June 23.
It's 23.
Catch that.
It touched you what?
It's all 23.
Let's just say fiscal year.
My error when I reviewed it.
Yeah, you're right.
But you're looking at item D though. We're on C, right?
Yeah,
HC.
It's not
the packet done. For item
because this C is D, different. Because D would be an investment policy. And it's wrong. So it the numerical order is off.
You're looking at Imperials.
This is that's exhibit D of your first pack.
Never mind. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's a separate packet.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Here's
no, the
scary. Okay.
Scared me. Scared me. I'm like, how did I miss that?
Visual error.
Yeah.
Where is Ms. Trumpano from, by the way? Imperial? Okay, thank you very much. Do we want to revote on item 8A? Just saying.
Do we have an anti-bullying policy?
not yet.
I apologize for that.
She gave me a scare there.
Well, I just started flipping through them. But, okay, they're in order. We're good.
Okay. Should I continue?
Yes.
Okay. As I was saying, the auditors issued a clean, unmodified opinion. The financial statements fairly present the position of Imperial LAFCO as of June 30, 2024, and it complies with all relevant accounting standards. There was no internal control deficiencies or material misstatements were identified, none. Net position as of June 30th was $1.5 million, slight decrease from the prior year of about $26,000, mainly due to higher expenses, primarily in salaries, benefits, and pensions. Revenue totaled about $776,000, an increase over the prior year due to, in part, to higher agency apportionments and project fees. Expenditures for the year were about $802,000, salaries and benefits making up the largest share. The increase in cost was offset by prudent spending and higher revenues, resulting in a stable fund balance. The general fund's unassigned fund balance at year end was $795,450. Up from the prior year of 746 to 86. So if there's any questions that we can try to answer them for you, the options for the commission to accept the audited financial statements as presented or direct staff to return with any modifications if needed. Our recommendation is to accept the audited financial statements for fiscal year 2024.
Thank you, Tyler. Do we have any public comments? Seeing none, bringing it back to the dais, any commissioner comments?
Except option one.
There's a motion by Vice Chair Amparano, a second by Commissioner Llewellyn. Any commissioner comments prior to taking to a vote? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Escobar?
Yes.
Commissioner Amparano?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawk?
Yes.
Commissioner Salgado?
Yes.
Commissioner Llewellyn?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Moving on to item 8D. Establishment of an investment policy, Mr. Salcido.
Thank you, Chair. If I may just add on, as far as auditing services, we have one more year with Davis Barr. And then the Southern Group, even though most of them aren't part of CalAFCO anymore, we're still working together on a joint RFP for some new auditing services after next year's expire. We'll be bringing that to you back in the future.
Are they a part of the Davis Barr contract or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was, yep. It's just easier for auditors to
economies of scale, for sure.
To get them to respond when they can bill more than one client. Okay, sorry. Investment policy. The proposed investment policy for Imperial LAFCO, I'll provide a short overview of what's in the policy, why it matters, and my recommendation. Next, please. This policy is being brought forward to establish formal guidelines for how LAFCO handles any public funds not immediately needed for operations. Even though we don't manage large reserves, we do maintain fund balances that can and should be managed responsibly. The purpose of this policy is to ensure those funds are invested safely and in alignment with California Government Code Section 53600 and beyond. It emphasizes care, skill, prudence, and diligence, and ensures compliance with federal, state, and legal requirements. Next, please. Here we go. There are three core objectives to this policy, and they're in order of priority. Safety of principal, number one. Our number one goal is to preserve capital and minimize credit or interest rate risk. Number two would be liquidity. We need to maintain access to cash as operational needs arise. And third, return on investment. While not the focus, we do seek reasonable returns that don't jeopardize either safety or liquidity. Also, to be clear, leveraged or speculative investments are not permitted. Next, please. Okay, this policy allows several low-risk state-permitted instruments without prior commission approval. These include U.S. Treasury and agency obligations, state and California local agency bonds, negotiable and non-negotiable certificates of deposits, county pooled and funds, and LAIF, the local agency investment fund that's managed by the state treasurer. These are all considered secure and liquid options. Next, please. There are guardrails in place. Most investments are limited to a maximum maturity of 5 years. Negotiable CDs are capped at 30% of the portfolio. Also, I'll repeat, no leveraged or speculative investments like margin accounts or hedging are allowed. Next, please. So any other other allowable investment under state law, if it's not already on this list in the policy, it must be brought to the commission for review and prior approval. This keeps the commission in control of any exceptions. Next, please. To ensure transparency, the policy requires the executive officer or designee to bring forward a report twice a year in January and July. Each report will include a detailed list of all investments, rates of returns, compliance verification, and verification of cash flow needs for the next 6 months. And thank you. Three options today: adopt the policy as presented, request changes and bring it back at a future meeting, or third, choose not to adopt the policy. Our recommendation is to adopt the investment policy by approving the resolution. Any questions, comments?
Thank you, Tyler. Public comments? Seeing none, bring it back to the dais, commissioners. Comments? I do have a comment before we take motions. The 30% on CD rates, is that a recommendation by current local LAFCO, or is that a mandate?
That is law.
That is law, okay.
What was the rate again?
30%. So at $1 million, we can only invest 30% or $300,000 in CDs. And my question was, is that a recommendation or is that a mandate? And the response was a mandate.
Okay.
So we have no flexibility in that regard. My additional comment is I'm a big fan, a very big fan of return on investment. This is not my money. This is other people's money. So we have to be respectful of laws and the fact that obviously the bang for the buck needs to be limited based on exposure. Having said that, we are in a very volatile market and we should be consistently looking at the most bang for our buck. In this case, how much can we return? If we're focused on $1 million, hypothetically, as an example, 1% is $10,000, so it does make a difference. And if the exposure level is controllable or within the acceptable parameters, that $10,000 can go a long way toward our pocketbook. So I think we should be conservatively aggressive, if that makes sense, and look at the best available options for the highest return on investment based on the mandates that require the most limited amount of risk, if that's fair. If the presentation is what you deem most appropriate, I'm more than happy to take motions on it, but I do feel that we should be conservatively aggressive.
Some of the other, if I may, some of the other options that are allowed within the state code, I felt were a little more aggressive than these here, and the commission may want to have a say on those first. Second, I would say that when I was at the city of Brawley, we had millions of dollars to invest, and I was using
our policy allowed for a lot more usage. Again, our volume's not that high. We don't have a lot of money, relatively speaking, to the city of Brawley to work with. But I agree, it's important that we try to safely and get as much interest as we can to help support our operations. And this is one of the things that at the city of Brawley, when I was the finance director, I was running, and when it was so important to me as city manager, I kept control over that and the actual portfolio and reported to council on that regularly. And we were able to, I feel, maximize our dollars safely. So
thank you, Tyler. Any motions to approve as presented?
I will move.
Thank you. Any second?
I'll second.
I have a motion by Commissioner Hawk, a second by Commissioner Salgado. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Escobar?
Yes.
Commissioner Amparano?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawk?
Yes.
Commissioner Salgado?
Yes.
Commissioner Llewellyn?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Item 8E, establishment of a reserve policy. Mr. Salcido.
Thank you. At our last meeting, staff had presented some options of how a reserve policy would operate. A commission gave direction, and this is the formal policy brought back for you for approval. Next slide, please. So the policy has three things. It formally codifies our existing assigned emergency reserves, sets a clear target for unassigned reserves, and strengthens our long-term fiscal stability and planning. Next, please. Historically, we have maintained informal reserves, 40K for the litigation reserves and 460,000 for the catastrophic building damage. But up until now, these weren't adopted through a formal policy. During our last 25-26 budget discussions, as I mentioned, the commission asked staff to bring forward a reserve policy with a target for unassigned reserves. Next, please. So what's in it? The policy does two things. It officially designates the 500K for assigned emergency reserves, with commission approval required for use. In other words, to tap either one of those, we first have to come to the commission for approval. Second, it sets a minimum target of unassigned reserves at 10% of our operating budget. The funds are discretionary and can be used for shortfalls, emergencies, or cash flow. Next, please. Use of assigned reserves, like I mentioned, is restricted to their intended purposes and requires commission approval. The unassigned reserves are more flexible, but if we drop below the 10% target per policy, we're required to adopt a plan to rebuild those reserves within two budget cycles. Next. To keep everything transparent, the policy includes annual review of all reserve levels during the budget process. Any changes to the policy would require commission approval. In other words, it'd have to be brought back to you. Three options, as usual: adopt the policy, or direct staff to revise and return, or decline to adopt. Staff recommendation is to adopt the policy as written.
Thank you, Tyler. Public comments? Seeing none, bring it back to the dais. Commissioner Hawk.
How did we do this, Tyler, before? What are the changes?
There was no policy, so
there was no policy at all.
Would just, I guess, I imagine year by year, there was just discussions of.
Okay, looking at.
Flip of the coin.
Flip the coin or looking at
what's
in the budget or whatever. Okay, so I think that's awesome to have a plan.
Is that a motion, Mr.
Hawk? That is a motion, but unless there's other comment.
Second.
No additional comments? We do have a motion by Commissioner Hawk, a second by Vice Chair Amparano. Roll call, please, Ms. Lord.
Commissioner Escobar?
Yes.
Commissioner Amparano?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawk?
Yes.
Commissioner Salgado?
Yes.
Commissioner Llewellyn?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Item 9, closed session, public employee performance evaluation. Dun, 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 dun. You're on. Oh, we got it. We got it. We got it clean. Yeah.